of your planet. And you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
What was that? You just blew the whole scene, Doug.
It reminds me of Rocky.
All right, here we go. I'm going to kill you now.
No.
I will kill you. I will kill you.
I will run and hide.
I sound like Gigolo from Deuce Bigelow now. I will kill you.
I will run and hide and find a closet to hide in or something.
Well, yeah, you always have to hide in the closet.
Right, yeah, or under a bed.
What better place to hide from a killer than the most confined space in the home?
The place with only one entry and one exit, the same. Yeah.
You know, and...
Oh, are we on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air.
Yeah, don't run outside. Run upstairs.
Run up, yeah. Why would you want
to... Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's
why would
upstairs.
You want to go out of the house, right? I mean... See, the killer's in the house, right? You got the killer in the house who's trying to, like, disembowel you or whatever they're going to do. And what's going to happen is you see the killer, like, you know, you're walking through the house, you're getting some popcorn to watch TV or whatever, and there's a guy with a knife going, I'm going to kill you, right? So you go, oh, crap. So what do? You run upstairs.
And hide in the closet.
And hide in the closet, right?
So really, if there's two bedrooms, the guy has two places to look.
And really, in reality, process of elimination is going to lead you to the closet. Sometime you're going to end up at the closet, right? and if you're really smart, I mean, if you're a real like high IQ person, you're going to open the closet door and go, "Hey, there's the person I was going to try to kill, and they can't go anywhere. Hey, cool, that just made my job easier.
Wow, I don't even have to search anymore."
Well, yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. So I mean, okay, fine, whatever, you know, and. Well, horror movies, they're like that, but that's what makes them fun.
Well, that's because for some reason the door is always locked from the inside, so people know not to run outside. They wouldn't be able to.
I want to know
if you're in a horror movie, you cannot simply go outside because all the doors will stick at that moment.
Well, you think you're in Hollywood, man. You're in Hollywood. You have all this money. You think they'd be able to put the right kind of locks in the doors so you could get out of the house, right? But apparently, I mean, union things, stuff like that. That's thrown out of the budget.
Right. You get the ones. Yeah, you get the ones that have to that are locked from the other side so that you cannot physically open the door when being chased by a killer.
Guys, I got to ask you something. You know, we're talking about horror movies, kind of here, or something like that. We're talking about the dynamics of a horror scene, or something like that. We went and saw, God, this is a while ago, but it was like the last film I saw in the theater, next to that horrible film called Hostel. Oh God,
I haven't seen it.
Oh God, you know, I didn't get a chance to rant on that, and I'm not going to do it now, but it sucked.
Okay.
Anyways, let's move on. So, we went and saw. Me and my buddies went and saw Jason versus Freddy.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I learned an important thing that night, and that was that it's a very big waste of money to go out and buy these films on DVD, go home after work, and watch them by yourself. That's boring, right? Because, first of all, you're going to know what you already know what's going to happen, right? You get the naked chick on the dock, right? She's like, she decides that in the middle of the night, she just wants to strip down and go swimming at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? So, you know, unbeknownst to her, there's this wielding crazy guy from the bowels of hell that's going to rip her guts out in about 2 seconds, right? We know the story, right? But when you go into the theater, and you have like 400 other people that are, you know, they're drunk on vodka or stoned or whatever they are. Half of them, that's what they appeared to be that night. You have this whole camaraderie going, right? And obviously, I don't know if you did. You guys see Jason versus Freddy?
Yeah.
Pretty funny, huh? We're all giggling, right? The opening scene is just that. The opening these guys, whoever wrote this film, they said, I mean, I don't know who's getting paid the big bucks to write scripts for these films because they don't take any intelligence anymore, really. And that isn't saying anything bad about them either because they know what works. Opening scene, Jason versus Freddy across the screen. Go to this website, go to this thing, do that, buy all this crap. Cool. All right. Naked girl on the dock. Right?
Of course.
She was clothed at one time, you know. And mind you, she's hot. She's really hot. She's very smoking hot, right?
They have them out there in California, I guess.
Well, yeah, right.
Oh, sure.
Not here in Michigan. They're all like extra layer of what? Anyway, oh, God, no, that's it. I'm done. I just totally got banished by the whole Michigan female listening audience.
In Detroit, girls.
In Detroit, the women drink vodka.
The women drink vodka.
But, okay, so like the girls.
Shave every day.
I don't know. Their
faces. That's wow. Right. We just lost our whole Michigan female.
There goes, yeah, both of them.
Both
are,
of them.
Have
both
just
the
tuned out. Yes.
They have the girl, though. You know, she was clothed, guys. You saw the film. She was clothed, right? And, you know, she's hot. And you're like, and of course, all the there's like two girls. You know, it's equal to our listening, our female listening audience. Two girls in the theater, right? And the rest of them are all red-blooded, long-haired, Metallica T-shirt wearing, you know, American boys like myself. And of course, the girls stand there like, "Geez, it's really hot out here. I just want to get dip in the lake." So we're like, "Take your shirt off, man!" Of course, the whole place, they got banners up. They're picketing out front. They got the whole thing going. Of course, she gets naked, and the whole place roars with applause, right? We're, yeah, right. And then people start getting killed. Point being, though, is that the thing with these films is that they're not made, I don't think, to really watch by yourself. Like, you know, this isn't The Godfather, okay? This isn't an involved plot line here. This is a film for you to have a great time watching. And yeah, it's gory. It's there's blood and people getting whacked off trees and stuff like that. But God, it's so much fun. I had a great time that night sitting with a bunch of other people watching people get greased. It was awesome, dude, because we were all into it. And it's gotten to the point now with horror, I think, where we actually cheer on the monsters. I remember a time where we were kind of like, "Oh, get out of there, dude." Now we're like, "Well, we know where the person's going to get wasted anyways, right? So if you can't beat them, join them." So now we're like, "Oh, come on, Freddy, waste her. Come on, take her head off." You know, and we were cheering on the monsters. Of course, it was a very interactive experience. Point being, you guys are following me on that. You guys are jabbing with me on this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's a very interactive thing. It isn't about, I mean, we've seen all 800 episodes of Halloween, right? And it's all the same thing. The same guy runs around the house killing people. They all run in the closet, get caught, and all that fun stuff. Like I said before. My question to you guys is, you know, you guys are in this. You guys are in the mix of this. You're happening. You guys are really into this kind of stuff, and you write music on it. You create these stories yourselves through music. What brings people back over and over again to see the same story? What do you guys think about that?
That's a good question.
Well, I think for the horror aspect, there's always going to be something there because we all like to get scared, I think, and we all have that the darkness and all the stuff, and the mysteries, the stuff we can't see around the corner. Mm. That always sparks the imagination. I think that's going to be always have some sort of appeal, and I think that's the base for all the horror movies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I also sometimes have a feeling that with everything going on in the world today, horror movies like Jason and Freddy, which are so, they're out there so far, it's just like, it's a good escape for a little while, you know, from, you know, what's going on and stuff. I think there's an appeal there, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think we just love it because we love those characters and stuff, and we remember what they were, you know, first time we saw, you know, Freddy or, you know, Jason or
Michael Myers or, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think maybe it's like a kind of a safer way to face your fears, too. I mean, you know that nothing's going to happen personally to you when you're watching this movie, but you kind of get involved with the characters and stuff, and you can kind of relate to them on some level. And, it's, you know, maybe it's kind of therapeutic, I guess, for a better word, like a better word, you know?
Well, yeah, you know, and that's what I see that a lot, too. I think a lot of people watch these films because, yeah, it is a nice way to kind of get away for 90 minutes and kind of just blow off some steam, let off a little aggression kind of vicariously through these characters. I know I've done it with Hellraiser. I mean, I'm not a big horror fan myself, guys, but for some reason I am a Hellraiser junkie.
That's very cool. That's cool.
I have it all. I have the box set, the Lament configuration.
You have Hellraiser in space, or that one
that was
did?
Number was four.
Like,
that was Bloodline.
No, which were in space?
Yeah,
they did not do that.
Yeah,
was it eight or seven?
That was four. That was actually number four.
Oh, no.
Four was out in space.
Four was Bloodline. That was the one where...
There's not that many Hellraisers. How many are there? Six now?
No, there's eight of them now.
Bloodline, was that the last one?
There's eight of them actually now. There's Bloodline was number four. The newest one is Hellworld, and that's number eight. I just got that a couple months ago, as a matter of fact.
Wow. I got to get caught up here.
Well, you know, as you guys know, with a lot of these horror films, though, I mean, they turn into these franchises. The last four Hellraiser films. They weren't even produced by Clive Barker. They weren't directed by Clive Barker. He wrote the Hellbound Heart, the original thing that was the basis for these characters. And he has nothing. He's had nothing to do with the last four films, more or less.
Yeah. And they've been direct-to-video, if I remember.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, these things These things never even graced a theater. Forget it. It was never going to happen because nobody that isn't for that market. There's only the real hardcore people like me that we can't get enough of Hellraiser. We want to see what they're going to do next, and we'll buy them when they come straight to DVD or videotape or phonograph, whatever you want.
Soon they'll come right to your cell phone.
Yeah, we're going to be watching them on our iPod and stuff.
Right, that's coming up next.
That, as they're implanted in our heads.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't even need to watch it.
No.
You just know it.
Yeah, you just learn it like the Lawnmower Man.
There you go.
Ah, that was a good movie.
But that's the thing. It's always fascinating with horror, as you said, is we know 9 times out of 10, I think sometimes I kind of go to them and go, you know what, maybe this time the person will escape and they'll survive. Maybe this one time they'll be smart and go, you know what, I'm not going to run up the stairs and go in the closet.
Right on.
I'm getting the hell out of here. And my car's going to start, too.
Yeah.
My car is going to start, all right?
I'll tell you, the horror movies that I find that are genuinely still scary are the ones that still rely on a good script. And a lot of the ghost stories, like The Ring.
Yeah, that was
genuinely scary for me. I was genuinely freaked out after that.
What scared you about The Ring? Because you know what? Well, you guys tell me what scared you about The Ring.
I think that dead people walking around and, the sixth sense, turning around and having a dead person right there.
Yeah.
Staring and having that visual thing is, must tap into something subconsciously for me. Because my wife was watching, and she's the one that would never go to a Friday the 13th. I mean, there's an axe, going, and he's running with the axe, and I'm like, counting down the shots, and I'm like, well, that's a nice shot, or, that's a nice close-up right there. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to go, and that's cool, and she's all, freaked out. Well, in Sixth Sense, she's laughing at me, because I'm, covering my eyes when the kid was in the tent and going to puke. And she turns around, and the ghost girl's in the tent. He's in the tent in his room after the mother says, in the kitchen, and she comes chases him in there, and the girl's in the tent with her. I freaked out. I jumped like a...
The only real cut from The Ring that really freaked me out the first time I saw it was the very beginning of the film when they actually showed the flashback when they found the first girl who was killed or who died. And that's when when they opened the closet up, man, that freaked me out. I'm like, and that's when I thought I was upon a brilliant movie. But after that, though, for some reason, I just wasn't blown
away.
Didn't
do it for you?
It didn't do it for me.
It's something different for everybody. What gets,
I don't think The Ring was, really, really scary for me, but I just, the story was original. It was something different,
Lights on.
It was different.
Lights on that night. Did not go to sleep without lights on.
I'll tell you that.
It freaked me out. I don't understand that.
Okay.
We went and saw that film, Hostel. I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, that new film.
Right,
Quentin.
Yeah.
They put Quentin Tarantino's name all over it, so all of us Quentin Tarantino junkies flocked in just sheep-like patterns, I guess, to the theater to see this film. Did you guys see that film by any chance?
No,
yeah,
but
not yet.
Bob, the guy that we're doing the soundtrack for his movie, The Rage, they did the effects for that movie.
Oh, did they?
Were the gore effects good?
Yeah,
it looked like people were really getting killed.
Well, see, the thing is, people were getting greased left and right. Yeah, and they were getting killed all over the place, and
that's what they did.
Yeah, I mean,
Bob is the special effects. I think did the virtual effects for some of those movies and stuff like that. And we're doing a movie. We're doing the soundtrack for a movie called The Rage that he's doing.
Oh, cool.
I don't know.
But
no, actually, go ahead.
It just didn't. Well, here's the problem. We always have the hype machine in this country that starts up, and that's done by Hollywood. They get the hype going, and I think it's Ellie Rose. Ellie Rose was the person that wrote the story, and Quentin Tarantino had a hand in working on this. And Quentin Tarantino always has had an eye for just the absolute ridiculous things. More in your face, I think, if you've seen Kill Bill or stuff like that, or even Pulp Fiction for that. I mean, he's a master of dark comedy. For example, the scene in Pulp Fiction where they blow the guy's head off in the back seat of the car.
Yeah,
I was the only guy in the theater laughing the first time I saw that. Because this guy just got killed. He got his head blown off, with a Desert Eagle, a big old gun, right? And they're arguing, what the hell happened, man? What's going on? And I'm laughing at this, right? Dark comedy, right? And I thought, oh, man, Hostel, this is Quentin Tarantino. Me and the girlfriend were going there to see this film. We got to go. We both walked out of there going, oh, man. It just, I don't know, it just didn't, you guys mentioned before, a good story is what I like to, what I like to see in a film, and it just wasn't a very good story. It was just a very, you know, it was very short to the point. Here's what happens, we get out of here, the one guy, the one lone survivor gets out, and that's the end of it, right?
Yeah,
One film that, you know, we're talking about horror movies here, which is a whole lot of fun. I haven't done this in forever. Doug's just kind of sitting here like, with this.
I haven't seen any of these movies.
I know, I feel bad, Doug. Yeah, we don't have to talk about this. But yeah, anytime a horror film, that's going to get me and Gavin talking. Yeah,
here's the film. If you guys have not seen it yet, and I suggest this to you, Doug, also, because
okay.
I've mentioned it to you also. This is the scariest film I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, I'll just rush over to BB and pick that up.
Hands down, scariest thing I've ever seen. And that was the movie called Prince of Darkness. I don't know if you...
Oh, yeah, that's John Carpenter.
Carpenter, okay?
Good soundtrack to that one, yeah.
Good story. Killer story. Amazing story that was written on it. It also had Alice Cooper, so that was kind of cool, too.
Yeah, very cool.
So that's big. You get 10 points from me right there because you had Alice Cooper in your film. But when I was a child and I saw this film the first time, this movie was made in like 89. It was an older film.
Yeah.
I was in junior high at the time, and I watched it on, you know, whatever TV station there was. And there's a scene. If you guys have seen it, you know what I'm talking about. Where these people, the story is, it's the Brotherhood of Sleep, right? And these people, they're the guardians of this cylinder of liquid, which is supposed to be Satan, okay? And, like, what happens is, yeah, just Satan, no big deal.
Oh,
he's just chilling in the cylinder, you know?
They couldn't afford a red outfit.
No.
So they just poured some stuff in a thermos that they took apart.
Well, what happens, I don't want to spoil it for people who are going to go see it, but... what happens is if you're in the Brotherhood of Sleep and you're close to the cylinder, you're in the vicinity, you start having these dreams, these same dreams. Everybody in the area started having these exact same dreams, right? And what would happen is the person would go to sleep and you go into the scene. It would be the front of this church that they were actually doing the research in, the scientific team that was in there from this college. And you'd hear this voice, this gravelly voice. As a matter of fact, I think we played a little bit of it on the show for a break one time. We used a sample from it. And you hear this gravelly voice going, "We are from the future. We are from 1999. And we're using tachyon emissions to go back into your subconscious level to let you know that we don't want this crap to happen, the coming of Satan himself, right?" And the camera kind of pans over to the church, and it goes over to the side of the church, and there's this white light coming out of the side of the church, these big doors, and there's this black figure coming out of the door, right? Now, I'm 13. Okay? I'm 13. I didn't sleep for a month, man. I'm telling you, I was so creeped out by this film. Not a lot of people give this film the credit I think it deserves, but for me, that dream sequence is the scariest thing I have ever seen in my entire life. It's the audio. It's the visual. It was everything pulled together in this one thing to make this event happen, this environment. And hands down, it is the scariest thing. Even now, I can feel like the goosebumps popping up on my arm
as I'm
telling you.
See, that's cool. Nice.
Brilliant film. And it was a good story. You guys saw it. It was a really interesting story.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic. That is definitely a classic. And Carpenter's so good with the music and stuff like that.
Yeah, he writes all of his own music. You guys are going to know that above anybody. Carpenter writes all of his own music for his films, too.
Yeah.
He's
a big influence for us musically.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he writes all of his own music for the films.
It sounds like that movie has a little bit different caliber than Alice Cooper's other horror movie that I actually have a copy of but have never watched.
What is it?
Monster Dog.
Monster Dog.
I believe he
was.
Ooh,
that's a good one,
Monster
Dog. You got me stumped on that one. I hate to admit it. You got me stumped on that.
Well,
Monster Dog?
I believe Monster Dog, and I believe Alice Cooper was in it.
Didn't they do a film like that already? It was called Cujo?
This was way before that.
Alice Cooper did a song for the fourth Friday the 13th.
Yeah,
Behind the Mask. I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember the movie. I just remember the Alice Cooper trivia. I have to do that. It's off his Constrictor album.
Oh,
see, I know that.
Very good call right there. By the way,
they don't have it on.
That's not on IMDb.
So I'm gonna have to get that copy.
That's how bad it was. Huh?
I'll bring it over.
IMDb won't even acknowledge it.
IMDb does not acknowledge its existence.
They acknowledge independent films, for God's sake.
I know.
They're not gonna acknowledge an Alice Cooper film.
Right. So I'm gonna have to dig that out. I do have it.
We're gonna have to watch this and laugh hysterically. Because I have a feeling Monster Dog.
I got it from the same bad movie collector that that provided me with The Creeping Terror.
Ooh.
Which was basically just this was my introduction to horror, and this is probably why I don't keep up.
Yeah.
I just don't keep up because The Creeping Terror was basically a bunch of people under a rug, and they would creep up on their victims, and of course their final victim thing was the school dance that was held in the church or something like that.
It's worse than The Blob.
It was really bad.
It's worse than The Blob.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, come on.
I don't know if I've seen the other one of them, but if I haven't, maybe I wouldn't be into horror either. That doesn't turn you off.
I was like, I don't get it.
That's worse than Creepshow 2.
So there's better stuff out there, Doug.
There is. I'll check.
Well, that one's worse than Creepshow 2. You guys saw Creepshow 2, didn't you?
Yeah.
With the oil slick thing that was eating people in the lake?
Yeah.
God, that was annoying. The only cool part is when they grabbed the guy and pulled him through the thing they were on. Oh, they found it.
I found it on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's on Rotten Tomatoes. Monster Dog, 1982. Cast and crew.
Do we have a synopsis on this film?
It's very short.
Okay.
Lou, as in Cooper.
Okay.
Is a rock singer who unwittingly leads his band into a weekend of terror as they are hounded by an evil mutt.
Oh my God!
That's it. That's the whole.
That's chilling. Yeah. Really, I gotta run out right now, man.
It was never rated.
Oh wow!
You mean never rated?
Rated super bad.
Yeah,
they wouldn't. Yeah, they wouldn't even rate it. They're like, okay, this is just trash.
I'm gonna have to see. Monster Dog is gonna be going
There's
in.
There's one review.
What's the review? Somebody's been getting the 15 seconds of fame here from us. Let's see what. How bad was it? Come on.
There's the short version.
Let's hear the short version.
The premise is a recipe for a cheesy good time, but the resulting film is flat and ponderous.
Oh, shocking.
We didn't see that one coming.
No, because sometimes, you have a premise like that, and it is. It's just like Freddy vs. Jason. It's good. It's fun, because just fun to watch and laugh.
You can buy it cheaper.
Ponderous. That's not true.
You're not going to be sitting in a film circle with Freddy versus Jason discussing it in detail.
You can buy it. You can buy it cheaper new than used.
Oh, that's very.
I believe that.
They didn't release like the double edition box set special collector's edition.
I think we should call Alice Cooper and have him on the show. We should bridge up them and Alice Cooper and say, okay, why?
Yeah, what's
both Midnight Syndicate and the Ghostly Talk crew, we all want to know why.
What happened with this evil dog?
What exactly were you thinking?
Yeah.
Monster dog.
You guys file that in your mental microfiche because you're going to see it someday. I guarantee
you. Yeah, we're
going
to do that.
Gentlemen, I gotta say, man, it was awesome having you guys on the show.
It was a lot of fun.
This is fun. You guys are doing something really different here, and I think it's really cool. I mean, you guys have been doing this for a while too. It's amazing.
Now we're kind of going into, when people go to our site, you'll be able to see we're doing some soundtracks for some horror films now, and I'm actually gonna take a shot at directing. Before I did Midnight Syndicate, I started as a director and went to film school and everything. And I'm doing. I'm going to go into pre-production on a movie called The Dead Matter that I'm going to be working on later on this year. So.
What's that website again, by the way? Too. What's your guys' website?
MidnightSyndicate.com.
We're working
on a movie called St. John Smith, and then that Bob Kurtzman, the effects guy, is doing a movie called Rage. He's a director too. He did a couple great movies, and we're working with him on the soundtrack for that.
Excellent.
The Dead Matter. So.
Sounds like you guys are pretty busy then.
Yeah. It's an exciting time. There's a lot going on for us, so it's cool.
Well, there's a big upsurge right now. We talk about this every week, it seems, but there's a big upsurge in people studying the paranormal as a result of a lot of things going on in the media, the show Ghost Hunters and stuff like that. And it's all horror films and studying the paranormal. They've always kind of had a healthy marriage over the last decades, more or less. They've always had that healthy marriage of the supernatural and the horror films. So, that's probably why you guys are so busy. That's why we're so busy, too.
That's why we're busy, yeah.
Gentlemen,
it's all good.
thanks again for coming on the show, guys. Hang out with us. We're going to go to break here, but hang tight on the line for a second. This is Ghostly Talk, man. We just had the guys from Midnight Syndicate on. This
I know.
Is so cool. These guys were a lot of fun, too, man. I mean, we had a ball. Actually, the next half hour, we're just going to be kind of chilling out here talking about stuff.
Okay.
Vance is coming out at 8 o'clock.
Whoa. Oh, so we have an extra half hour?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what we're going to
do.
Well, why don't we take a quick break here?
All right.
Quick break. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
We'll be right back after this.
Come on, Doug, hurry up, man. You're gonna get killed. Come on, go!
Come on.
I just want to stop at this park bench and rest.
Dude, the killer's right behind
just
us,
for
man.
4 minutes. Just 2 minutes.
Oh, yes. Oh, more. Yeah. All of it. Oh, my God.
What have I done? I think
that
turned into a totally different kind of movie.
You should have had to put it on.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The independent band was Red Eye Flight.
Killer band. Actually, the band I filled in for after I played in my old band, I actually played with those guys, and they're very, very cool dudes. And they contacted and said, hey, play one of our tunes on the show. I'm like, hey, I'd love to. So, great band, killer band, cool guys.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm taking the Red Eye home from Las Vegas.
You mentioned that.
Yeah.
I hope it don't go like that.
I hope it doesn't go like that. I think I'll put that on my MP3 player, though, and listen to it toward the end.
It'll just kind of get you into, it'll get you into the whole mood of the turbulence and stuff like that.
Exactly.
It'll make them, everybody else will be freaking out, grabbing their mask. You're like, I'm fine, dude.
I'm cool.
I don't know what's going on here. I'm just going
to
enjoy the
I got tune on my MP3 player by Red Eye Flight. I'm good to go.
Yeah, I'm good to go. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm John.
I'm Will.
And we are chilling here for the next half hour.
We have a half hour off. This is pretty cool.
Well, yeah, you know, Vance is going to come on at 7:30, but he had some stuff going on. So we said, oh, come on at 8 o'clock then. No problem at all. One thing I want to mention that I forgot to mention. This Wednesday.
Yes.
One of our illustrious, one of our famous world-renowned bonus shows we do, right? You know, we make it out as like this. It's a bonus show. You're getting something for free on top of something you already get for free.
For free, yeah, right? Yeah, not bad.
Which is pretty cool, I think. And
you know, your subscription to Ghostly Talk,
you get
so many bonus shows per year.
Yeah. So, well, we've been trying to get this gentleman on. A man by the name of Philip Gardner.
Oh, yes.
And I've been working, I come across his work like a year ago. And, of course, what's the first thing we do as part of Ghostly Talk? We email him and go, hey, you want to be on the show?
Right.
Hey, you want to be on the show? And
we just heard of you.
Yeah.
We want you on the show.
But the work is fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
He actually has definitely a new book out called The Serpent Grail. What's coming out called The Serpent Grail. And it covers a lot of stuff. It's more or less, I mean, the bottom line is they claim it's the truth behind the Holy Grail, the Philosopher's Stone, and the Elixir of Life. That's how you pronounce that.
Elixir.
Elixir, okay. Of Life. And there's a lot of information in this book. I've been trying to get him on the show, God, for like a year.
The Holy Grail, the Elixir of Life, what was the middle one?
The Philosopher's Stone.
The Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. We've been trying to get him on the show forever. And it's just one thing wouldn't work out. This wouldn't work out. This gentleman's from the UK. He's all over the world doing your research all the time. So he's like, dude, I'm going to be so jet lagged, I can't talk to you. It's not going to happen. Right? Well, we managed to work it out for this Wednesday. Said, okay, let's try to do a bonus show this Wednesday and have Mr. Philip Gardner come on the show and talk about his new book, The Serpent Grail. From 9 p.m.
Yes.
Late.
That's late for a Wednesday.
That's
yeah.
late for a Wednesday. Till like, we're going to probably, usually those kind of shows, they go, I usually like to put question mark, like 9 or 8 or whatever, till question mark. We put till 10:30. It might go past that. We don't know. It depends on what happens. It's kind of we like everything around here. We just kind of play it by ear and see what happens.
Right.
And if we're on something like a Bill Null conversation, for example, like last week, those things go forever. We could let those things go for days.
That was very difficult to actually stop the show.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because Bill Null he's absolutely incredible, and I could talk with him for, well, I have talked with him for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
Of course, we taped all the conversations and put it up and called it Ghostly Talk, but he's just that fascinating.
Well, he has so many stories to tell.
Right.
He really has something to say.
And we didn't get into, which is, I'm really glad that last week's interview or talk with him, because I don't know if you'd call what we do interviews.
Not really.
People
ask me, you know, you do the interview thing. I don't know. We just go, hey, how you doing? So what are you doing? Oh, well, you know, I'm just kind of chilling here right now. Okay, cool. So what's up? Well, nothing. Not really much of anything. Okay, cool. So, yeah, like ghosts.
And then we just start talking.
And then we drown them out and alienate them, and then they never come back again.
Right. Except for Vance West.
For some reason, he's a glutton for punishment, I guess.
Right.
He just likes to be here.
He's like, I like to listen to them talk on the phone. He just sits there and listens to us talk.
Vance
no, Vance is good.
Vance is the man.
He participates in our conversations.
Yeah. We did, like, if you haven't listened to last week's show, we were speaking about Bill Nell and stuff like that. We also had...
A lot of people have.
Have they?
Have you seen the statistics?
I have not looked.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Like billions, something like that? Like the Kiss Army? Is it like
it's something like the Kiss Army.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
really cool. I'm glad to hear that. We also had our friend, I guess we can call him now, sort of. I'm glad to be on the good side of Guar. I'm glad that I'm one of the slaves, kind of, as opposed
right.
to like one of the humans that's going to be killed someday.
Right, right.
We're kind of on Dave's side, I think. Now we're on his good side. We had a good time with him. We also had Dave Brocky, obviously.
Yes, we did.
A.K.A. Orderus Urungus from Guar. And he had a lot to say. I was really blown away by that. I didn't know how that was going to go. We had no idea how that was going to happen. But it turned out to be a really interesting conversation with Dave Brocky. Now, he said he was hitting the pipe. I don't know. You know,
you could say anything on the phone. But
yeah, he had some interesting ideas. We talked about a lot of stuff. We talked about, I know you wanted to mention this, Doug. He mentioned, what was that movie? What was that movie?
Well, you know, you were talking about all these movies.
Yeah.
And the movie that I just saw last night or the night before, I don't remember which, was War of the Worlds.
Mm.
And it was a pretty decent movie in that, you know, I liked the effects, I liked the ideas behind it. That, you know, and I'm talking about the one with Tom Cruise that came out
a little
while ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had rented it, and I'm glad I didn't go see it in the actual theater, because I would have felt guilty for paying so much just to see this. But it was a decent movie, except for there's so many questions. Like, they took so many liberties. Like, the biggest question is, why did the minivan work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Will's like, oh, they explained that. They replaced the solenoid.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay, so, like, this alien technology is demolishing the city around you.
Mm-hmm.
So you tell your mechanic to replace the solenoid in somebody else's minivan.
Mm-hmm.
And he does.
Okay. Because he doesn't have anything else to do with it.
Right, because he's not hiding from it or anything or running.
Yeah.
He's still working. And he replaces the solenoid that quickly. You didn't have to, like, drop it off at 8 a.m. and pick it up 3 days later.
Mm-hmm.
But he replaces it, like, right away and just in time for you to make your escape.
Well, hey, you know, I mean, that happens every day, Doug.
Well,
what's wrong with you?
I didn't understand that.
See, I didn't even take the time to see the film. I never really have. I don't remember seeing it, to be honest with you. I don't think I saw the original.
Right.
The original was cool.
Yeah.
That was groundbreaking right there. But as far as
it was
a radio thing.
It was a radio.
Yeah,
thing.
I mean, that's what I meant. It was a
the original thing. Yeah.
Actually, Clyde Lewis had a big expose on one of his shows. He did a special. If you listen to, I believe it's a Ground Zero Outtakes or Ground Zero Lounge over on OmniSound.
OmniSound Radio 1.
Yeah. You can go over there and listen to he did a whole expose on War of the Worlds. And that's where I listened to it years ago. But Clyde brought it back out, and he kind of cut in the middle of it going, okay, observe right here. This is really cool. You know?
Oh, it's like the director cut or commentary.
Yeah. But Clyde Lewis is a big fan, obviously, of that, and he played the whole thing on his show. So you got to listen to it again. It's an amazing thing. I think he kind of played it out around the same time that they had the movie coming out. But it was, you know, the original one. Yeah, and we were talking with the guys from Midnight Syndicate just a little while ago. Goddamn ginger ale.
Well, we were talking to them, yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, so have another swig.
You know, one of the big points they put out, as far as their music, I mean, I'm holding the CD right now in my hand.
Right.
Is that it's the subtleties. It's the things that your mind can create, right? And you think about, you know, what was done with War of the Worlds, the original, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And look what happened after that broadcast.
Right, it was a radio play.
Mass hysteria.
And there was hysteria, yeah.
Mass hysteria as a result of people sitting there going, what's going on here? They had no idea this was just a broadcast. It was a story that somebody was telling. Right. It was, they thought it was the real thing. The mind kicks in, mass hysteria, right? So that's a classic example of what can be done with just audio itself. And that's what the guys from Midnight Syndicate do, too. They just kind of create these scenes and let your ears take them in and then let your mind take over and all your other senses can come into play after that, right? Now, as far as taking it and making it into a movie, You know, like I said, it wasn't something that I was prepared to go and spend all my time on. I mean, you saw it, Doug. What is your synopsis of the film?
I think it's worth renting.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
We did
if
talk,
you don't want to think for about an hour and a half or
well, we did, you know, speaking of movies, we did talk about, I mentioned it, how much, I have to be honest with you, and I know I'm going to probably, Quentin Tarantino's going to come over here and break my legs, but I have to be completely honest that I think my hatred for the movie Hostel rivals your hatred for White Noise.
I can take him.
What, Quentin Tarantino?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Get him without his bodyguards, I can
but I'm just saying, I think, I mean, when I walked out of the theater, I mean, we came over your house after that.
Right, yes you did. And you were like,
I was raging. I was so mad.
You were like, rah, 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 rah.
I
went to this movie and I expected Quentin, you know, it's Quentin Tarantino. It should have been good.
I thought, hey, this is, you know, Quentin Tarantino's.
No, I think he, you know, I guess any artist, any person who is creative, has to experiment. Hopefully he views that as a failed experiment.
I don't think he had much to do with that. I think they just put his name all over it to get people to watch it, because it's that bad.
When is White Noise 2 coming out? Because I am going to go pick it.
Oh, God.
I actually am going to... I don't know. Can I start a one-person campaign against going to see a movie? But see, even if you do that, people will go see it anyway.
Well, yeah, the more publicity you give it. Like, I'm sitting here saying, which I don't like that movie, Hostel, but I'm going to probably end up...
Oh, White Noise 2, The Light.
It's a pre-production.
Yeah.
I'm going to probably end up sending a few people to the theater now, when you think about it. I'm going to probably send up...
Well, I have a feeling that they'll probably rent it to see how bad it is.
You want the plot outline?
Oh, yes, please.
Well, we're going to pitch White Noise 2.
White Noise 2, Electric... I mean, White Noise 2, The Light.
A man's family is killed, and he is brought back from the verge of death. He then realizes he can identify people who are about to die.
Wait a minute, I saw a movie like that before.
I think everybody has.
What movie was that? Or was that Dave Chappelle thing where he had the camera that could tell you 10 years from now? I don't remember now. I thought there was a... whatever. I'm sure it's been done before.
I don't know. What does that have to do with White Noise or with EVPs?
Well, Mark Macy was just on a couple weeks ago, right? And we asked him about that.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to the archive. We're like, hey, did you see White Noise? Yeah, I saw it. You get this big sigh, right? And I kept saying to people, after I saw it, people were like, oh, is that what you stuck at? Is that EVP stuff?
Okay.
So the story follows a man whose family is murdered and who himself is brought back from the brink of death. He soon discovers that he now has the ability to identify people who are about to die and begin saving them from their demises, only to discover the perils of interrupting death's plans. Sounds exactly like Final Destination.
Yeah, that sounds like Final Destination.
Well, what does it have to do with White Noise, though, as far as, like, EVP goes? It has nothing to do with that now. So they basically said, okay, this whole EVP thing didn't work. Let's try something else.
More like, we blew this whole EVP thing.
Well, they totally blew it, in my opinion. I think they totally blew it. Because, like I said, people are like, oh, it's...
And I feel bad. Because Tom and Lisa Butler are hardworking.
Absolutely, they rule.
You know, the EVP folks are hardworking. You know, advocates of EVP and what it can do. Mark Macy is a hardworking advocate of ITC, a related field.
I think that movie
arguably a related field.
Yeah,
and then White Noise comes out and totally, you know, I mean, I don't know. It exposed the topic to a lot of people,
which is cool, which is good. It did get that awareness out there, the basic frontline awareness. But I kept telling people, like I said, well, Scott, that's what you do, isn't it? That's really cool. You should love that movie. But I was like, in my opinion, it followed along the lines of more of the ITC practices.
Yeah. Well, with the video, definitely.
There was no randomness about what was going on. It wasn't like, oh, I was sitting here recording myself doing this. I was painting the garage, and I was recording it, and all of a sudden this voice said, don't paint the garage, you're an idiot, or something. I don't know. That's kind of how EVP works. It's more of a random thing, it seems. You're just trying to capture stuff from thin air, so to say. ITC is more of a controlled thing. It's more of a controlled
More scientific.
It's more scientific.
More
you're building devices.
A lab, yeah.
And that's what they were. They weren't really necessarily. They were just going to, you know, going to whatever chain appliance store and buying tons of VCRs and TV sets from what I saw and using Cool Edit or something like that. And they were recording these things. I mean, I don't know what they were doing with that. I mean, that was my thing that bugged me. I was like, okay, anybody can, you know, which with ITC, Mark told us this, you know, you can, You can do some of this just in the winery here. We should be doing experiments in the winery. We don't need to go to a cemetery. We don't need to go to a haunted house. We don't need to go to a haunted prison or something like that. We can do it right here because they're all around us. It's a fabric of reality that lays under or above ours, and it's just as much part of our reality as we are probably just as much part of its reality, the other reality. So
I hope so.
Well, yeah, totally. So I thought the movie, as far as white noise goes, as much as we can't stand it, it seemed like it followed more of those practices, and it didn't touch EVP whatsoever. It didn't. I mean, they gave you the definition.
At the beginning.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh, okay, this is kind of cool. I thought, hey, we're going to be doing some, this is going to be a really, you know, educational film. That's what I thought when I initially saw it. And at the end, you know, I think, I don't hate it as much as you do, Doug.
Well, I also didn't like the others, so, you know, you got to
see the others. I don't even think I really saw the others. It just did.
Nicole Kidman.
I just
the two
Amber,
kids who could not act their way out of a paper bag.
Well, part of the Amber Scott L. like battle for movies, I lost a battle one night and I had to watch Interview with a Vampire, right? And it was just one of those films again. I saw like okay, Tom Cruise, who else?
Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm. I'm like faces. That's all they are. Even though I like Brad Pitt, he's cool. Fight Club's awesome. Faces.
Right.
Faces. I don't want to look at these beautiful men while I'm sitting on the couch going, God, am I ugly?
Hand me the popcorn.
Yeah. The butter.
Hand me the popcorn soup.
I don't want to. Popcorn soup.
That's what I used to make in college.
I saw what you. I've had the cement popcorn before. But I never gave it a chance, you know. But that was one film that was an exception to that. When I saw it, I actually sat down and watched it. And, of course, every 5 minutes, Amber's going, you don't like it, do you? Well, no, I like it. I like it, actually.
Great movie.
I've
never seen it.
It's a good film.
I don't know.
It's a cool film. It's an interesting movie.
I borrowed the book and then returned it unread. So I have no idea what it's like. But it reminds me of Catherine Ransland. So maybe next time I borrow the book or grab the movie.
Yeah.
Or something, I'll actually watch or read it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was an interesting film. So there's movies like that all over the place. What's going on, Will?
Well, I found out why we couldn't find Monster Dog on IMDb.
Why is that?
Because it's an Italian film, and it was under a different name.
Oh, what was it under? In Italy.
Leviathan. It's a werewolf film.
Oh, wait. No, now it's a werewolf film. I thought it was about a crazy dog.
Okay, and the plot, this is the plot summary for Leviathan, a.k.a. Monster Dog. Ellis Cooper plays a pop star who takes his band to his hometown to shoot his latest video. They are greeted by the sheriff, whom he's known since a kid, that warn him that there's been several murders in the area where the bodies are ripped to shreds.
Mm-hmm.
The police think it's a pack of wild dogs, but Ellis knows different.
How does Ellis know different?
Doesn't say.
Now, there's a cliffhanger. We gotta get that movie. I haven't.
I think we're
going
to have to actually broadcast the audio version of
Monster Dog.
We're going to take another night off and just go, okay, we're gonna just going to play this movie for 2 hours, and that's the show.
It's from 1984.
84? I thought it was 82.
Oh.
They can't get the date
this
right.
This says 84, but it said 82 on the other one. I don't know. We can watch the movie. I'll bring it over sometime. And
do we really want to dedicate 2 hours to that? We could be doing much more important things like licking stamps or breathing air or something like that. Couldn't we watch the Bill Nell videos again or something like that? I mean, geez.
Well, that would be a better use of our time.
I'm at a real quandary here because breathing air is much more important to me than watching Monster Dog. Is that what it's called? Monster Dog?
Or Leviathan.
Leviathan. Oh, God. Whatever. I don't know anymore. Any more business to cover?
But Alice Cooper was in it.
I know, and I love Alice Cooper, but this doesn't sound like it just doesn't sound like something I want to deal with, man.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, bring it over.
Hey,
we'll stare at it.
Aren't they filming Morro Road now?
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard from Francis in a while.
Hmm.
That's something I've been meaning to get with Francis on that and talk to him about it some more. So we're going to have him come on the show pretty soon, I think.
Well, I hope so.
Because that'll be the only remnants of Morro Road, seeing that it's been paved over now, and I don't know, it really doesn't seem.
Well, they can use that other road like they did on the website.
Well, yeah.
They can use that closely related, but not Morro Road.
Yeah, what's up?
You know they're doing a remake of Night of the Living Dead in 3D. It's a reimagining.
I won't be able to.
How many times are you going to pull
Sid
that
Haig's
movie?
In it?
Sid Haig's in it.
Really?
Yes.
Well, now it's cool.
It's supposed to come out March 17th.
March 17th?
Yeah.
They're going to do a 3D version of Night of the Living Dead. What's Sid playing?
They actually wrote a character for him. called Gerald Tovar Jr.
Gerald Tovar Jr. And what's he doing? Is he killing zombies?
Basically, yeah.
That's what I figured.
Cool.
Here's your writer. This is what we need you to do in this film. Go ahead and start just chopping stuff apart, and we'll pay you.
Well, that's St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day.
So we can have green beer.
And watch.
Well, I'll have green Diet Pepsi. And then we can go see. DP.
DP.
We should.
God.
I know.
We've been pimping Hollywood. We've pimped the Super Bowl. We've pimped all these companies tonight. What have we done? We've totally lost focus on the show. We've sold out.
I don't think so, because we don't get any checks from any of these people. So.
No, it'd be nice to get Starbucks check. Hey guys, so we really like the amount of publicity we've been getting for your radio show. So here's 50 cents. Thanks a lot. We really appreciate it.
Here's the tax on a cup of coffee. Oh, thanks.
Why don't we take a quick break? We're going to get Vance on the line.
I think that's a good idea.
I think enough movie
talk.
He
can focus us.
I know, because I'm like totally like frying right now. I'm just like, movie, monster dog, Alice Cooper, zombies, Sid Haig killing zombies, getting caught in closets and getting killed by murderers. I mean, you know, we're all over the map tonight. I don't know what happened.
It's another Ghostly Talk.
Where is our focus at?
www.ghostlytalk.com. You can complain in the forum.
Complain in the forums, because we love complaints. You know, I mean,
or better yet, call. I have
that
telephone number. If you go to the, like, on ghostlytalk.com, there's the contact us page or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I put a phone number, a couple phone numbers, that you can get into the, we have a GT info line now.
Yeah.
Oh, as a matter of fact, before we call Vance, can we call it?
Okay.
And put it on the air?
What's the number?
Oh, let me grab it. Wait, I have it in my, wallet.
Oh, boy.
It's right. Oh, you have to write down here. Can you dial it? Can you dial it like right on the air, or won't it work?
I have to wait until he's done dialing before I can click.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
Dial this 360. You don't have to dial a 1.
Okay.
488-0833. Okay. Click it in. Let's see what it says. Nothing.
What's going on?
Maybe I did it wrong? Let's try it again.
Kill it out.
Kill it. Because I want you to hear this. It's pretty cool.
All right.
Maybe you should dial a 1. 1-360.
Okay.
488-0833.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. I don't think it should ring.
The Ghostly Talk Project.
Oh, there it is.
Thank you for calling. To go right to the console, press 2, or make no selections during
the
following menu, and you will be transferred there.
Well, you don't. Don't worry about it.
Ghostly Talk is an internet broadcast performed live over the internet on
Sunday night
from
model.
6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Archives of past shows are available as podcasts or direct downloads from our website at www.ghostlytalk.com.
Oh, I had to work that in, didn't you?
Yeah.
www.
This is the main menu. To hear more information about Ghostly Talk, press 1 now. To leave a voicemail for the host, press 7
oh,
now.
God,
that's the important
for Paranormal
one.
Minds, press 9 now.
New project.
Yep.
As always, the hosts of Ghostly Talk urge you to support pretty much anything that can be classified as independent.
Mm-hmm.
This includes independent music, movies, webcasts, podcasts, researchers, and authors, such as those featured on our show.
Pick up the phone.
We
and
now
seven.
Await your selection. Remember,
okay.
More
not
information
working.
Is 1.
Ah.
Leave a voicemail at 7.
I guess
and
we can't do that.
Is 9.
Oh, well, hang up on them.
What about the phone sex stuff you were talking about?
Well, that's on a different phone number. Yeah.
For hot, sticky, steamy action with a host, press 4. For
yeah.
a threesome, press 5.
That's a different phone number.
Okay, all right, we got it.
But the Ghostly Talk number is 360-488-0833. Or do you remember our Danville number? That's probably a better one, but I don't have it written down. Danville, Indiana.
I don't have it here. No, it's
know.
Not on the list.
It don't matter.
We'll get them up on the site though. You can call and
it's
leave.
On the website. If you go to ghostlytalk.com and click on the
contact
us,
link, yeah.
It's in. I have some numbers in there that you can call and you can get the Ghostly
okay.
Talk line. Find one that doesn't skip like that.
Be gentle, please. If you want to leave us a voicemail.
Leave us voicemails, because I'll listen to them. And, as a matter of fact, we got one from Tushy Galore.
Oh, God. How was that?
It was good. I put it up on the website, so we're going to pull it down.
Was it hot?
And you can hear it. Yeah. Oh, she's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Check it out. Drop us a line. You know, it's a new little thing. New little toy for you guys to play with, I guess. Doug and his wonders of playing with technology.
I would love to get some really cool voicemails and play them on the air.
That's a good idea.
I think that would rock. We can get voicemails, play them on the air, and then make fun of them.
Yeah,
I mean, and then analyze
And then talk about
it. And then talk about it, yes.
That sounds very good.
That's what I mean.
Give us a call. Drop us a line. You can talk to us anytime during the week now. We're always accessible. We're always on the site, though, too.
Well, that's true.
You always see, like, Ghostly Talk or Scott L. or Doug or Will in the Who's Online Now thing. So, you know.
Quite often.
We're not hard to get.
And Havoc. Havoc's in there a lot.
Yeah, that's our security force on the website, news guy/news guy. A lot of things going on. Thanks, though, for helping us out with the new website, though. That's one thing I want to make sure we got out tonight.
Yes, thank you, everybody.
We really appreciate you guys helping us out, getting the ball rolling again with this whole new project, new website, all this fun stuff. Why don't we take a quick break, though?
And we'll get Vance on the line.
Vance.
And we'll be talking about remote viewing, the new ORVP3.
Yes.
The quick analysis of the Trinity Science remote viewing project, if he's got anything for us. And stuff like that. It'll be interesting.
Very interesting. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott O.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
We'll be right back.